Scholastic Audio presents Upside Down Magic, Book 8, Night Owl, by Sarah Mlynowski, Emily Jenkins, and Lauren Miracle. Read by Rebecca Soler. Chapter 1. Here is what Eleanor Boxwood Horace packed for the Dunwiddle Magic School fifth grade sleepover on big night. One water bottle with sparkly stickers on it. One pair of plaid pajamas. One sleeping bag belonging to Aunt Margot. One favorite pillow. One second favorite pillow. One toothbrush and one adorable tiny tube of toothpaste, safe in a plastic baggie. One hair scrunchie. One pair of purple jeans and a bright blue sweatshirt with sequins on it to wear the next day. Plus, one pair of underwear, of course, and socks. Nori felt a lot of feelings about the big night sleepover. For one, she was excited. All the fifth graders would sleep overnight at school, staying up late for big night, the holiday to celebrate the longest night of the year. They'd eat traditional big night treats and make paper owls. There would be a scavenger hunt. The winning team would get an amazing prize, the key to a secret room somewhere on the grounds of the school. But Nori was also sad. Her best friend, Elliot Cohen, wouldn't be at the sleepover. He was going to the Sage Academy big night concert instead. In fact, Elliot was leaving Dunwiddle Magic School to go to boarding school at Sage Academy after the winter break. Leaving Dunwiddle forever. Because of this terrible plan, Elliot had chosen to go to Sage's concert over Dunwiddle's sleepover. How could he miss their last night of fun together? So Nori was excited about big night and at the same time sad, and on top of all that, nervous. Why? Because some kids at Dunwiddle were mean about upside-down magic. In particular, the Sparkies, a group of flair kids with unpleasant attitudes. If something wonky happened at the sleepover, the Sparkies were sure to be mean about it. Like if Nori's friend Bax turned into a rock, or if her friend Willa made it rain on their sleeping bags. Nori's own magic could go wonky, too. She could accidentally turn into a squid puppy in front of the whole fifth grade. Here's how magic worked. When you were young, you were just a regular kid. You didn't know what your magic would be. Yet, you went to ordinary school. Then, shortly after your 10th birthday, your powers bubbled up. You got one of five talents. Flares had fire magic. Flyers could fly. Fuzzies had a magical connection to animals. Flickers had invisibility magic. And Fluxers could turn into animals. Most beginner Fluxers started off turning into kittens. When they got their kittens right, with straight whiskers, four legs, and nice sharp kitten teeth, they started learning to do puppies. Later, they would learn other mammals, like goats and hamsters. In high school, they fluxed into wilder animals like apes and deer. Birds, insects, and large carnivores could be learned if you went to college. Nori was a fluxer, but she mixed up her animals. Kitten was the only animal shape she could hold for more than a couple minutes, and even doing that had taken her tons of practice. When she fluxed, Nori often added dragon to her kitten and became a dritten. Or she added goat to her kitten, and she became a coat. Or squid to her puppy, and became a squippy. Stuff like that. The brighter side? Nori had some pretty big power. At age 10, she had already fluxed into a couple of shapes with bird elements. And a couple of shapes with fish elements. Plus one with a touch of mosquito. The other bright side, because of Nori's upside-down magic, she now lived with Aunt Margot and went to a new kind of experimental class, one for kids with unusual magic. Her teacher, Ms. Starr, helped each kid in Dunwoodle's upside-down magic class figure out how to manage their own unique powers. The UDM kids had become a team. They had one another's backs and did their best to understand each student's unusual magic. They stood up for their friends and had a lot of laughs. It wouldn't be the same without Elliot. Aunt Margot and her boyfriend Figs were waiting downstairs when Nori lugged her duffel bag into the living room.
"Have fun at the sleepover," said Figs, "and keep an eye out for big night owls."
"Silly man," said Aunt Margot. "Big night owls are invisible."
According to legend, big night owls were an invisible breed of owls that visited people on big night. Nori would never get the chance to see one, obviously. They were invisible. But she always hoped she might hear the beat of their wings. "Do you believe they're real?" she asked. "The big night owls?" Figs pretended to be insulted.
"Excuse me, of course they're real."
Nori rolled her eyes because, yeah, he had to say that. And anyway, she was glad he did because she liked believing in them too.
"Owls are nocturnal," Figs added.
"They're the perfect animal to visit us on Big Night since Big Night is the longest night of the year." "Also, owls have keen eyesight," Aunt Margot said. "They see things clearly, even from far away. And we try to do that, too, when we make our big night resolutions." She pointed at the dining table. It was covered with brightly patterned pieces of paper. "Do you want to fold some owls before you go?" Nori shook her head. "We're folding them at the sleepover." Nori had folded owls every year on big night. The pretty paper and the shape of the owls people often use nowadays were borrowed from Japanese origami. But the tradition of folding paper owls for big night had started with ordinary brown paper and tape. People did them all different ways. Nori liked making them, but she had never given the ritual much thought.
"Miss Starr said we're going to make big night resolutions at the sleepover," Nori added. "But this will be my first time. I've always just tossed my owl into the air."
"Ah," said Aunt Margot. "Well, you were young."
"What's my big night resolution supposed to be?" Nori asked.
Aunt Margot tapped her chin.
"It's kind of like a wish, but it's a wish you can make come true for yourself."
A wish you can make come true for yourself? What a cool idea. Well, Nori certainly wished Elliot was coming to Big Night, and she wished he wasn't leaving Dunwoodle for Sage Academy. But he wasn't coming, and he was leaving. So she couldn't really make a resolution about Elliot because she couldn't make her wishes about him come true.
"You'll think of something," said Aunt Margot, noticing Nori's silence. "I have faith in you."
Nori put on her jacket and looked in the mirror. There she was, brown eyes, a red sweater, a plaid coat, brown skin, big hair. She felt a little thrill. It was a holiday. She was staying up late, at school, with her friends. She would think of a good resolution. She would. And she would make the best of this special evening, even without Elliot.
"Happy big night," she told Figs and Aunt Margot.
She shouldered her duffel bag and headed out into the misty early evening air.